Hello, everyone, and welcome to Between the Sessions. We are coming to you from the beautiful Palm Beaches, Florida. And Between the Sessions is a podcast for meetings industry professionals. It is presented by the Palm Beaches, and I'm your host, Suzanne Boyd.
And I'm Kelly Cavers. Our mission is to inspire those in the business events industry with new and innovative ideas and discuss important developments impacting the meetings industry in the U.S. and globally. Today, we have Rory Archibald with us, the founder of New Intent, an events industry organization centered around DEI and advocating for other social justice causes. Welcome, Rory.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I wish I was in the Palm Beaches, but hello from Scotland.
That's not such a bad place, though.
It's not. Just slightly colder this time of year.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in the business events industry.
Well, I think like a lot of people, I stumbled into this industry. I started out to train to be an elementary school teacher until I realized I don't have the patience to do such a career. So I'm glad I kind of found that out before I actually became a teacher. So huge respect to any teachers out there. You have the patience of a saint. But 2006 was around about the time I came into the events and hospitality industry. I'm not going to lie. I saw people drinking champagne, sales managers, entertaining clients. And I was like, I want to be that person. I want to be the champagne drinker at lunchtime on a Monday. That sounds like a great job. From there, it's been different hotels in Scotland and Edinburgh, unique venues, international conference centres, and lastly, a DMO. So 17 years it's been since that fateful day of stumbling into the industry. Now, I kind of looked at it from that, oh, that's champagne, it's parties. That's kind of what it looked like from the outside. And it really has transitioned from there, particularly when I started looking after the international associations market and seeing that real impact that events can have on local communities, but also global societies. A lot of people would look at what happens inside the conference room. My belief is that we have huge potential to impact what happens outside the conference room. And that's kind of led me to create New Intent, which I launched last year, a diversity, equity, and inclusion advocacy organization within the business events industry. Before COVID happened, we weren't really talking about DEI with any great depth. The events that I went to, sometimes you may have a panel of four men on a panel, or you may have a panel full of three men and a woman, and the women never being able to talk or being constantly interrupted. And those little things that happened, which are big things to the people that it happened to, I thought this needs to change and we need to give more of a voice in the conference room and making sure that we create that whole center of belonging. So it's my mission now to use my experience in business events to try and improve how we adopt diversity, equity, and inclusion both inside the conference and outside. So it's a mission of passion.
So yeah. What exactly does New Intent execute on, or who are they working with?
We work with the entire supply chain of business events, so anything from destinations to international conference centres, hotels, suppliers, AV company, whoever requires and wants to improve diversity, equity and inclusion. So some of my current projects are to create guides, resources, pathways for destinations on how event organisers coming into the destination can adopt diversity, equity and inclusion and look at what advocacy organisations they can work with. It could be looking at creating workshops, training, and unfortunately or fortunately for the audience, I do a lot of speaking engagements both in the UK and across the world to champion diversity, equity and inclusion and try and break down the scare factor of when we talk about this. Is this a really challenging subject? And it's trying to break this down into manageable chunks, kind of looking at how we, the terminology we're using and making it easier to understand and empowering people to have the confidence to talk about some of these really difficult and challenging conversations.
What do you think is that scare factor? What does that really mean?
I think in this world that we're currently living in, there's a fear factor of cause and offence. And sometimes asking questions to better understand and to educate yourself has led to people being scared to do that, particularly within public spectrums, public spheres. And so that's where potentially there is a fear factor there of causing offence. And so therefore, we're not asking the questions. And that means we're not bettering ourselves, we're not educating ourselves, and we're not learning. And this is one of the major things on diversity, equity, and inclusion, is that we have to be prepared to make mistakes. One thing that I always say is that I am not a DEI expert, and I believe that no such thing exists. In fact, if I see somebody who claims to be a DEI expert, I run a mile, because it's impossible for any individual to know absolutely everything about every demographic, every culture in the world. It doesn't exist. And therefore, making mistakes is going to be something that we have to live with. But as long as we put protocols in place, that we learn from these mistakes, and we put actions into place so they don't happen again, is how we can combat that. But remember, mistakes is where we learn the most from. Yes, we can share successes, but when we share mistakes, that's when we move forward as a society. So it's kind of overcoming that fear factor and creating safe spaces when we're talking about DEI is how we get people to ask the questions about things they don't know about in order to advance ourselves.
Interesting. So let's start talking about the UN Sustainable Development Goals. And what does that really mean for the business events industry?
Sure. The goals are something that I am incredibly passionate about. They are 17 wonderful nuggets that were adapted by the United Nations back in 2015 to give society peace and prosperity for all, with an ambition of achieving each of the 17 goals by 2030. Now, as a society, we're not on track to get there by 2030. So we have an obligation, a duty, a potential to be an industry that can contribute to these goals. Now, peace and prosperity means that these are traditionally attached to environmental sustainability, but embedded within the UN SDGs, which is how I will refer to them to try and save some time on the podcast. Embedded within them is DEI. If we look at them, we have no poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being, quality education, gender equality, and reduced inequalities, just to name a few, which are all directly related to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and raising the living standards of society. They're not traditional things that you'd associate with environmental sustainability, because when we think about that, we think about recycling, we think about reducing our energy use, flying less, reducing our carbon emissions. However, if we don't raise the living standards of every single person on Earth, we have no hope of combating the climate crisis. Somebody in a different economic situation from ourselves, they are just looking to feed their families for a day. They don't care where the food comes from, they don't care where it's wrapped, and they don't care what happens to that trash once they've fed their family. They're just trying to live that day. So therefore, we need to raise the living standards of everyone in the hope of being a sustainable sustainable world. So therefore, DEI is imperative to them. Now, these goals, now 17 doesn't sound like a lot, but within those 17 goals, there's 169 individual targets. And on top of that, there's 247 indicators. Now, don't let that scare you, because these are not designed to be an absolute template that you can adapt and move forward for your own organization's ambitions and values. They're a guide to help us. So if we look at those goals just purely from the 17, not even getting into any of the targets, we can look at no poverty, we can look at zero hunger, good health and well-being, quality education, and think, where does business events fit into each of those different areas? Now, we have things like life on land and life below water. We can easily fit into those with our environmental sustainability policies by reducing the electricity that we're using in our international conference centres, transitioning to the use of renewable energy, looking at locally sourced food which are sustainably grown or raised. When we look at the gender equality issue, we can look within our own workforces and how we ensure we're breaking down that glass barrier to ensure there's gender equality, not just in our workforces, but in our leadership. When we look at good health and well-being, we look at zero hunger, no poverty. Regardless of where we are in the world, there are issues with this. For example, things like homelessness. And business events have a role to play in combating that. Now, you can have an event, so it could be a corporate boardroom event, it could be an international event on pediatric endoscopy. There is a connection there with every event and how they do public outreach, how they educate the delegates that are within their conference centre, and how they do public outreach, perhaps to even raise awareness of a health condition on the streets of the city that they're in. We're in a unique position within business events that we bring world leaders, we bring leaders in different academic fields, leaders in different corporate fields into a room all at the same time. And that's an opportunity to get that expertise out there to the public to help raise living standards. And that's how business events can tap into the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals guidelines as a guide to help us when we're operating on a daily basis on what we could be doing and what we should be doing from an events perspective. I fully believe that it's not good enough just to hold an event anymore. There's that element of a social license to operate, and that events need to be good for our community and have to be good for our planet. So something like the UN SDGs, looking at all 17, there are ways that we can connect into every single one. And looking at the values of our own personal organisations and the values of us as individuals can help us connect in. And just small steps can lead to huge strides on how we operate as an industry.
Yeah. And I think even just like, you know, it can sound overwhelming, I guess, when you're talking about the numbers of targets and the numbers of goals and, you know, all the things that we're trying to end or move forward. So what do you suggest to your clients? Like, do you suggest like, let's start with one thing, or, you know, what is your best suggestion to help, you know, enact some of these policies?
There's a couple of different ways you can go around about this. So if you're like an organizer, an event organizer, an association, a hotel, an international conference center, generally speaking, you will have values based within your organization. So how you want to be perceived by the world when somebody thinks of the Palm Beaches, what are your values as an organization and how do you filter that down into your workforce? You may even have a corporate social responsibility policy within your organization. So those already give you where your targets are as an organization on how you want to operate. Now then look at those values and see which ones align to maybe one UN SDG or two UN SDGs, and that will help you achieve those targets. If you're starting literally from scratch and you don't have a values proposition, you don't have corporate social responsibility policy, you don't even have a DEI policy, the UN SDGs are there from a top line level, and we'll forget about the targets, forget about the indicators, and just look to see, well, no poverty. How can my organization adapt a policy that will help my local community eradicate poverty? We're never the 100% solution, but we are able to contribute in a significant way. It could be looking at reducing inequalities. Where's my workforce? What are the inequalities within my workforce? What's the inequalities within my community? And how can we advocate for better? That could be working with event organisers coming in. That could be working with local advocacy organisations in your community, such as getting more women into STEM, looking at the LGBT community, and breaking down gender inequality across the board. So these are the ambition. These are what are guiding light for business events. So even if you have values already in place, great, because that makes it a lot easier. If you don't, choosing one or two to get you started can really help. And I said it before, small steps lead to big strides, because the minute you start thinking about these things, it's natural to then think, oh, well, how can I adapt this? How can I go there? Maybe I should change the way that we do things here. Let's look at introducing something there. And all of a sudden, over the course of 12 months, you can have a fully fledged DEI, social and environmental sustainable policy that you're enacting and living and breathing as an individual and as an organization.
So while you gave us, you know, some great things to think about and some great examples in the business events industry, is there any that you would say is just some really low hanging fruit that they could be like really easy, simple changes?
I mean, I'll give you one example, which is a really, really obvious, really simple example, but it shows how it snowballed into something a lot bigger. I was working with an organization last year, and I'm on the committee for this business events organization. We were looking at the agenda that had been put forward and been suggested for our local chapter conference in Scotland. And every single speaker was a man. And I'm the only man in that committee. And it took the man to say, actually, we need to relook at this because there's a bit of a gender inequality going on here. And all of a sudden, that snowballed into creating an entire DEI policy, which is now implemented across all of the communications, all future events, how we operate, and the ambitions we have as a chapter to do better and to implement DEI in absolutely every touch point we have with our members and with our local communities. And that was something incredibly small, low-hanging fruit. Myself, I'm trying to educate myself that when I'm on stage and speaking, I don't say good morning, ladies and gentlemen, or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, because I can't assume the identity, the gender identity of everybody in that room. And that is a little thing that I started and how I got into diversity, equity, and inclusion, because that little change on language can really help someone's sense of belonging, and it helped start my journey on diversity, equity, and inclusion. I sometimes start some of my talks where I don't say my name or my organization, but I asked, have you ever been scared? Have you ever been lonely? Have you been isolated? And you see people nodding along because we've all experienced something like that at some point in our lives. If a speaker stands up and the first thing that comes out of their mouth at 8:45 a.m. at an international conference and says, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, you've potentially isolated maybe just one person in that conference room, and that's isolated them and given them a feeling for the rest of the conference and ruined that conference experience. So little changes of language, little changes of just thought process on agendas can lead to huge impact for individuals. Because if people see themselves on stage, if they see gender equality on stage, if they feel that they're included in the opening talk, all of a sudden they're more invested in that organization, they're more invested in the event experience. And it's that bringing your whole true self to work, to the office, to the event, and that helps you contribute. And research shows that if you're able to be your whole true self, and that's encouraged within teams, within workshops, then that's where innovation truly does spark.
You know, one of the things that as you're speaking that has inspired me of maybe just some low-hanging fruit of how we as a business events community can work together is you have a business event strategist or meeting planner that comes in and presents an opportunity to a destination. I think it's really important that in that RFP, if there's some language at the beginning of what maybe those EDI initiatives that they're trying to work towards for that specific event, because then as a supplier, we can look at that and say, okay, what are the right community members we can bring in to support those initiatives?
Absolutely. I mean, that's brilliant, because this is a right thing to do, but this also makes good business sense. So if an organizer does have an EDI or a DEI ambition and they've got targets within their own organization, if your destination can help make those happen and make it easier for the organization to achieve, then that's good business sense both for the destination and the event organizer. And you know, we live in the real world, and that the right thing to do, just because it's right, doesn't make it easy. We have to have a combination of the right thing to do and making good business sense. And this is good business sense. So I completely agree.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times when you're looking at a future opportunity, it's like, do we have the dates, rates, and space? Is that what we have? But let's look at it at a larger level here, at a higher level, and how we can make it easy to execute on those.
You know, you had talked about some of the, you know, that you're going to make mistakes, right? And some of the challenges. There are challenges, I'm sure, to implementing some of these initiatives. What are some of the biggest challenges that meeting planners run into? And what are some of the solutions to those challenges?
It's not just the meeting planners. If we look at it from just DEI and the industry as a whole, the biggest challenge is that not everybody agrees. Not everyone has the same opinions that I have. Not everybody will have the same opinions as the sitting person sitting next to you, as a person on stage. And that's okay. we need to learn that, you know, we don't all think exactly the same, but by having the open conversations, that can bring us to a happy medium to ensure that, okay, we're not getting everything, but at least we're changing minds slowly but surely. So the biggest challenge is that not everyone is going to agree. You're going to potentially annoy people in an audience, annoy a boss, annoy a co-worker, because we all have different feelings, we have different religions where different things are accepted and other things are not. But we have to come to some sort of agreement and some sort of middle ground. And creating open spaces and discussion is where that happens. Now, generally in society at the moment, there are huge political differences taking place, which sometimes become angry, they sometimes become violent, and it's making opposing factions shout at each other and completely shut down when it comes to listening. And if we as an industry can facilitate safe spaces where we can have these discussions, that's one way to break down those barriers, is by making sure that we're bringing everyone to the table to have a discussion. So if an event organizer is trying to do something at a destination that doesn't quite align to their values, let's bring everybody across that table and discuss where there are advocacy outreach programs that can happen, how can we get together so that we're all happy, but we're achieving each other's aims. If it's an automatic shutdown and close off, then we're not doing society any good whatsoever, because this is all about advocacy, championing, learning, experiencing. And events are just so unique within that sphere. If you're bringing people from all across the world into your destination, that's an opportunity not just for the delegates, but for your community to break down barriers, to break down stereotypes, break down assumptions, break down fears, because you're exposing them to cultures and rich cultures from all over. And I would say that is the biggest barrier. There's so much conversation about boycotting, about where we go, where we don't go, what we say, what we don't say. And conversation has to be the first thing that takes place, because otherwise, we don't have a hope.
Yeah. So as we look towards the future, how important is it for us as an industry to take a collective action or immediate action to work towards a solution for these issues?
I might be slightly biased in this, but I think it's absolutely imperative. I believe that this industry's future relies on being socially and environmentally sustainable. So that means embracing DEI and embracing environmental sustainability. Like I mentioned earlier about having that social license to operate as well as the environmental license to operate. We haven't found how to be part of the solution to the climate crisis just yet. We are still on our way there. It might sound slightly dramatic, but we are at a cliff edge and we've got one foot over that cliff. Though the world is burning both metaphorically and physically, and we need to find a way to be part of the solution. We're not there yet. And that's talking about the longevity of our industry and the security of our industry into the future. If we look at younger generations coming through, they are much more akin to their values. They're much more aware of their values. They're more politically astute. Now, I can't say that as a painting everybody with the same brush there, because I certainly wasn't when I was their age. I was far too busy going out to pubs and restaurants when I was younger. But these are the people that are coming into our industry in the future. They're going to be the ones attending our events. And so the future of our industry is utterly reliant on us becoming and embracing diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is then embracing the challenges of climate change and taking climate action. There's a lot of things that we need to be introducing 20 years ago, and we need to stop having the conversations and actually start implementing. So as I say, that cliff edge is there, that's one foot is over. There is still time to bring that foot back and take a few steps back so we feel a little bit more secure, but we need to start taking action now.
So, you know, as you kind of talk about the next generation of planners and what their focus is and how important this is, what do you think we should be doing as an industry to attract more of those individuals that have that top of mind?
Well, I'm not sure about what it's like in North America, but certainly in Europe, we are having a workforce crisis at the moment, where during COVID, we lost a lot of people and we are still trying to rebuild those workforces to what it was. My personal belief is that there is a problem with our industry that we need to solve. But this is a fantastic industry. Do not get me wrong. I love every single day that I'm working. I love the fact that I've been able to travel the world, experience different cultures, meet so many different people. But we lost people for a reason, or we lost people for a reason, which is COVID, but we're also not getting them back for a reason. And if we look at how we treat people, making sure that people have a good work-life balance, that we're paying a living wage, not just a minimum wage, and not forcing people to be working 70, 80, 90-hour weeks, then we can start rebuilding. The younger generations, as I mentioned earlier, are much more akin to their own personal values, and they want to work with organisations that reflect those values. We're seeing a boom in the creation of social enterprises because people want to make a real difference to the world, a real difference to society. So if we look as an industry to see how we're embracing diversity, equity and inclusion on how we operate, have frank conversations with ourselves, look inwardly to see where we can do better, we have stand a better chance of securing the next generations coming through who will be the next leaders of this industry. It's, as I say, this is a fantastic industry to be in, but we can be doing better with our own diversity, equity and inclusion to ensure that we have the next leaders wanting to join our industry and staying in our industry for the long term.
And I don't think that's just the events industry. I think that's good advice for all industries, to be honest with you, because I think Absolutely. A lot of industries are struggling. you know, the name of this podcast is Between the Sessions. I know you've probably been to a lot of meetings and events. So we always ask our guests, what is your favorite Between the Sessions experience or memory of or activity? What really stands out to you?
When I first started New Intent and gave that very first talk on diversity, equity, and inclusion, I was absolutely terrified. But what really made it for me, and it's something that completely stands out in my head, is during the break, about 4, 5, 6 different people lined up to come and speak to me and to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, to ask me questions, to have a conversation. And that really inspired me, and it got me excited that people actually listened to what I was saying and had a comment on it, and they were passionate about it. So between those sessions, absolutely, don't get me wrong, I love an experience as much as the next person. But when we go to events, we are there to network, to meet new people, to discuss new ideas. And sometimes those between the sessions times are where we can actually digest what's just been said, debate what's just been said, discuss, think about how we can implement it. And if a speaker is there, 100% go and speak to them. If you get up on stage, you are a little bit narcissistic. And we enjoy some of the attention we get afterwards. And we're happy to talk about what was just being said. And if anybody says they're not a little bit narcissistic, it's a lie, because that's a narcissistic tendency to say that.
Right. I was about to say, if you're calling yourself narcissistic, you're not narcissistic. Well, Rory, we also have swag at the end of our show, our swag is not stuff we all get, like the typical event swag. Our swag is a piece of advice or a tip or something that you would want to leave our listeners with. What's your tip or your swag for our listeners?
I feel like my swag and my Between the Sessions is not quite as exciting as you've had elsewhere, but my swag is to ask for help. And that's something, as humans, as society, we really sometimes struggle to ask for help because we don't have all the answers. And if we ask for help, that's already starting the first step of trying to make our industry that little bit better. I think I mentioned at the very start of this that I started out as an training to be an elementary school teacher, and I really wanted to get into the industry because of the champagne lunches. I now have a 7-year-old niece called Mirren. I have a 12-year-old godson called Sam, who are, they're going to be stand-up comedians the way that they make fun of me on a daily basis. I do this now because I want to make sure that I'm leaving this planet better than we found it, and to ensure that Sam and Mirren have got the same opportunities that I had, if not better. But I can only do that by myself asking for help to find out how I can make our industry better. So please, asking for help is a strength, it's not a weakness.
That's great. Definitely inspiring. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Rory. You inspired me to think differently and to act differently. So thank you for that. Between the Sessions is part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. And we thank you for tuning in and plugging into the Palm Beaches on LinkedIn or our website, www.thepalmbeaches.com. And we really encourage you to subscribe to this podcast.
Yeah, leave us a review. And one more question, Rory, how can people get in touch with you if they do want to reach out to you?
Oh, absolutely. You can find our website, www.new-intent.com. If you Google my name on LinkedIn, I am the first one that comes up. So feel free to do that, Rory Archibald. And there's also our LinkedIn as well, which you can find the link on my LinkedIn and also on our website.
All right, Rory Archibald from New Intent, thank you so much for joining us today. And you have just listened to an episode of Between the Sessions. Have a great day, everyone.